bad things happen to good people. You can sit there and think today of many, many really fine people that tragic things happen to. Now, I'm not going to be able to explain that this morning, but I'm going to show you what the Scriptures say. Bad things do happen to good people, and it's not an accident. It's not an accident. As a matter of fact, the verse that I'm going to read to you from the book of James is really hard to get our hands around. Listen to this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, and know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It is virtually impossible for a Christian to go through this life without having a tragedy, a difficulty, a situation happen without an answer. It may be your health. It may be a divorce. It may be drugs or alcohol. It may be adultery. It may be parents with some problem that takes your time and your money up. It may be dementia in the family. It may be a child, a grandchild being arrested and going to jail, or a loved one going to prison. You may be fired from your job. You may be accused of embezzlement or worse. It could be a dozen things that I haven't mentioned. Personal storms come quick and without warning. God doesn't give us a warning. They come from where we least expect it sometimes. They fall on the undeserving as well as a devout Christian. Some of you have been through them, haven't you? Some of you might be going through one right now, and you're hiding for the rest of the world. But deep down on the inside, your soul is in the midst of a storm. And if you've never had one, here's a word of advice. Get ready. They will come in your life. They will hit. Please be ready. Now, storms are not necessarily punishment from God, and they can be very well a satanic attack. But we have no way to run and hide from them. There is no safe place. Down at the college, we recently installed tornado shelters, probably because we saw what it did to a sister college up in Mississippi. Tornadoes came through and devastated the college. Tragedies in our lives come and devastate our lives. They come without warning and without explanation. So I have 3 points about this morning I'd like you to listen to. Number one, when the storm comes, and it will. When the storm comes, and it will. And I go back to the book of James, the first chapter, the second verse. James says, "My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials." Now, I don't know about you, but that verse gives me a little difficulty. I mean, I don't get on shouting ground when I've had a tragedy in my life. But looking carefully at it, and I will go over it this morning, all sorts of things will happen to us. You will know you're in a personal storm when your boss of many years walks in and said, "I'm sorry to tell you, but we don't need you anymore." You know you're in a personal storm when your doctor comes in the room and says, "We tried everything, and nothing is working. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do." You know you're in a personal storm when you come home one night and your spouse says to you, "I've been committing adultery now for several years." You know you're in a personal storm when the judge says of your child, your grandchild, "He did the crime, he'll do the time." You know you're in a personal storm when the school teacher sends for you and says, "Your child is mentally challenged. You're going to have to move somewhere that they can get the professional help they need." You know you're in a storm when the police calls and says, "Get down to the station as quick as you can." You know you're in a personal storm when the oncologist comes in and said, "All of that trial material we used did not work. We're so sorry. We're so sorry." You know you're in a storm when the bank calls and says, "We're calling in your delinquent loan. Be out of the house in 30 days. The list is endless, isn't it? It's endless. It never stops. There are so many more. And yet, let's come back to that verse. James says, Christians, count this joy. Now, I don't have much hair, but I'd be pulling it out to try to explain that. But there is an explanation. There is an explanation, my friend. There are only two sources for a storm in our lives. Either God is allowing it, or God is causing it. If you're a Christian, you've got a hold of that. These storms that come in our lives, and they will come, God either allows Satan to do it or allows that thing to happen, or he causes it to happen. He causes it to happen. There's only two sources. Now, we can panic and run. That's why I kind of put the title on there. You can run, but you can't hide. We can panic and we can run, but where are you going to hide from God? Where are you going to hide from reality? Or we can scream and claim to be we're a victim, we're innocent, it should not have happened to us. We see a lot of that in America. As soon as the president's new budget showed up with all the cuts he wanted to make, 10 million screams went up across America. Children going to starve to death in the streets if you cut our welfare back. That's a panic and run, and we're the victims. Or we can come apart emotionally, cry and have a pity party and just feel so sorry for ourselves. And people come and pat us on the back and say, I understand. And we just enjoy that pity party, and somehow or another it gives us some feeling, but nothing goes away. Nothing goes away. We can blame it on others. It's always someone else's fault. It's always someone else's fault, or it's bad luck. Get rid of the ideas there's luck in the Christian's life. If there's luck in the Christian's life, then the Bible lied. There is no luck in the Christian's life, my friend. We can blame it on that, but it's not there. Or we can remember. We can remember everything is caused by or allowed by God. Everything. He is in absolute total control. Don't misunderstand this word joy here, because I really had to work on that. It's just a synonymous term for happiness. But it doesn't change anything. I'm not happy either when the storm hits. Are you? No, we don't like it. We don't like it, my friend. But there is a joy in knowing that even though this is happening, my God is in control. He has not abandoned me. He has not set me adrift. No matter how difficult the task, and I went over about 25 possibilities, but no matter how difficult, we know this. No matter how hard the pain hits our hearts, God is in control. He is, even if he's allowing Satan to put it on us, he's still in control. He's still in control. So hold on to that with all of your heart, my friend. How can we be happy when the storm is raging? Because he's there and he's promised he will never, never, never desert us. And he has given us an anchor. It's a verse that you've heard all of your life, but always keep this right easily remembered when the difficult time comes. And that's Romans 8:28. You know what it is. You know what it is. For we know, by the way, that we means Christians. The lost person has no claim on this verse. Romans 8:28 says, for we know, we Christians know, that all things, all of these things work together for good for those who love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that's your anchor. That's my anchor. No matter how bad the situation is, no matter how the storm is raging, the scripture says God is not going to let anything happen to me that he's not going to get glory out of it. It'll be according to his purpose. We know God is working for our good because we're part of God's family. Listen, my friend, the day that you knelt down somewhere or you got off by yourself somewhere and gave your heart to Christ, you became a part of his family. Do you think he's going to abandon you? You think he's just going to toss us out there and let us move with the wind blowing? We know, and this is our anchor. We are part of his family. And storms will come. You know, I think of Joseph. You remember the Old Testament story, remember of Joseph? Joseph had 10 older brothers, and they didn't like him because he was Dad's favorite son, and Dad had given him this special coat, and he had some dreams about people kneeling down before him. And for that, they already didn't like him. They sold him into slavery. They sold him into slavery, which wound up down in Egypt, and he was bought by Potiphar. And Potiphar put him in his house, and he prospered in Potiphar's house for several years. And then one day, Mrs. Potiphar accused him of rape. He was innocent, but he went to prison. Now, he went to prison. This sentence was life without parole. Joseph was in that prison till he died. But he had another dream. He had another dream. Well, actually, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And out of that, he became the second man down in Egypt. 20 years had gone by, and the brothers are starving down in Judah. They come down to buy some grain, and he plays with them a couple of times. But finally, he reveals himself to them, and the moment he reveals himself to them, and they remember they sold him into slavery, never to be seen again, they know, my life is over. They knew their lives were over. They were trembling with fear, waiting for the hangman to come. And you know what Joseph said? In Genesis 50:20, Joseph said, you intended it for evil. You intended to hurt me, but God let it happen for good. God intended it for good. And there he is now, able to save them and all of their families and his dad. God intended it for good. My second point is, why did this thing fall on me? Why did this storm fall on me? Well, back to James, 1st chapter, 3rd verse. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Well, I know what I thought when I read that, and we think when it happens to us, we could say, Lord, I could have told you 100 times that I love you. You didn't have to test me this way. I would have been glad to confess it. I would have told you every day that I loved you. We'd do all of that. Because, he says, you will have endurance. God, you know what God told Jeremiah when he's testing? God told Jeremiah why he was testing him. He's not going to tell us. We got to wait till we get there. But he told Jeremiah why he was testing him. You know, Jeremiah led an incredible life. You know, Jeremiah was, everything Jeremiah ever tried to do failed. He was trying to do it for God, and the people were so far away that it's a story of a crying prophet. God said to Jeremiah one day, I, the Lord, probe into people's minds. I examine people's hearts. I deal with each person according to how he has behaved. I give them what they deserve based on what they have done. Have you ever thought that almost anything of value has been tested? Steel is tested. There are several different grades of steel, and it's tested for grade. You go to the gas pump, and the gas has been tested, and you buy it by the test you desire. Gas has been tested. Water has been tested. You test the water in a new well to see if it's potable. It's been tested. Electricity is tested to get the amps and the voltage out of it. You wouldn't want to go over and plug a light into one of these sockets and it be 440. It's been tested. Electricity has been tested. And Christians get tested. We get tested. What should be the results then when we test it? Listen, coming back to James, the first chapter, the 12th verse, James says, happy is the one who endures testing, because when he has proven to be genuine, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now look at that word. Blessed is a happy Christian after the trials. After the trials, after he's endured. See, testing makes us humble. When you go through that storm, you'll most likely find some humility. When you go through that storm, I'll guarantee you're going to talk to God. You will talk to God. Even if you never talked to him before, you're going to talk to him. It's just a part of it. The idea is that we'll come out stronger on the other end. Peter explains why God allows storms. Peter says, such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold, and will bring praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The test of our faith in storms reveals to God our true spiritual condition. As soon as we go into a storm, what we really are will come out. That's why he tests us. We need to know what we really are. We need to know what kind of faith we have. God already knows. He needs to bring it home to us. My third point. Well, there is an upside to testing. There's an upside to testing. In the fourth verse, the Bible says, let endurance have its perfect effect, that you will, as so you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything. In our storms, we can run, but there's no place to go, no place to hide. But God has promised great rewards that come after the testing, after the testing. It is only human to want the easy life. It's only human to want a life without testing, a life without tragedy, a life without heartache, a life without troubles, a life without tribulations. We don't want those things. That's human. That's the human part of us. But I want you to remember this, that the cheering crowd is always at the finish line. The cheering crowd is not there in the endurance. It's not there in the race. It's not there in the trials. It's not there in the tribulations. The people cheering you on and wanting to see you finish well are at the finish line when it's over. I want to read you the paraphrase of James 1:4 in a moment. I read it to you, and it said, let endurance have its perfect effect so that you'll be perfect and complete and not deficient in anything. Now, the Message paraphrases that. The paraphrase is not a translation. It is taking the scripture from the old, original language and moving it into the way we talk, not like King James talks. So he paraphrased that same verse by saying, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. That helped me a great deal. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. That's good advice, but who wants to follow it? Now, what he's saying is when you're in the middle of that trial, don't try to cheat your way out or lie your way out. He said you're going to come out better after it's over. Good advice, hard to follow. Because when we end that storm, my friend, we're looking for the end. We're looking for a way out, and we miss the blessing. We miss the blessing. We fail him, and we lose. And Satan always is there whispering in your ear and mine saying, just quit. Just quit. Blame God for bad luck. Just quit. But God has a purpose. We may never know why. I can't stand here today and explain to you why, because there's no answer. But I know this. Job summed it up, and no one's ever been tested as much as Job was. You remember the story. He had that big family. He had all that wealth. He had everything in the world that you could ask for in life. And in one afternoon, God took it all away from him. All of his children were killed in a tornado. The thieves came and stole all of his livestock. He was hit with a deadly disease. All he had left was a nagging wife. Now, I didn't say anything about that wife. Job says to God, not to his Job, he said, he knows the pathway that I take. If he tests me, I will come forth like gold. You know when he said that? After God had taken everything from him. After God had taken everything. Now, if you read the last chapter of Job, he gets it all back plus more. Plus more. He had another family and had more wealth than he'd ever had before. That's why he said, he can test me, but I will come forth like gold. Regardless of what you may call them, my friend, when these storms come, and they will in our lives several times, we better have something to hold on to. We'd better have something to hold on to. I told you in the beginning that every adult in this room has had at least one or two storms in their lives. And somebody around is in one right now, hiding it for the rest of us. And if you're less fortunate enough to have never had a tragedy, get ready. It will come. It's going to come. And one of those things that I mentioned are something else. But I want to come back to Romans 8:28. When those times come, and they will, the Bible says we Christians know that all things work together. It's God's plan. All things work together for those who love God, for those who love God, and those who are called according to his purpose. That's his plan, my friend. God wants us to endure the testing and come out better equipped on the other side than we were when we went in. That's why he tests us. That's why he allows it. We got scars from it, though, haven't we? He put some scars on our backs and in our hearts and in our lives for the testings he puts us through. But then we always know that even when I was in the middle of it, all things will work together for him if I'll just endure and make him give him honor and glory and praise. And by the way, even in the deepest part of that storm, he's still got a listening ear to hear what we've got to say to him. That's when we get our sustenance from him in the midst of that storm. Bow your heads with me this morning. Have you ever been through one? Would you like in an altar call this morning to just come up and thank God that he saw you through it? Perhaps kneel on the altar a moment, or if health doesn't allow it, sit on the front seat. You've been through a storm and you know that God saw you through it. Have you given him honor and glory? Would you make it public? If you're in one right now, would you just come this morning and kneel at this altar and ask him for more strength and better guidance? If you see one coming, you need to come and get closer to him. Would you like to do that as we have an invitation this morning? Now, if you'd like to be a part of our fellowship, you come and talk to me. But if you'd just like to come and speak to God, just come and kneel at this altar, sit down on the front seat, and just thank him or pray for his guidance or his direction. Keep your hand in his hand. If you'd like to be a part of our fellowship, you come and tell me. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, this is the word you gave me to the best of my ability. And I pray now, Lord, that your will be done.